Well, good morning. Amen. Miss Diana did a great job Wednesday. I know she's not here today because of the situation, but she did an awesome job preaching and, you know, just sharing things that God had put upon her heart. And so we thank her for doing that and wanting to. Only God can put that in people's hearts and in people's lives. Well, you know, today's the big game day, huh? Whatever team you're pulling for, that's the team I want to win. No. honestly, this year, I don't know if I've watched a full game at all. At all. I mean, Sundays, I have a lot of other stuff to do and catching up and stuff. So they were at work, they were asking me, they said, but Joe, who you want to win? I said, y'all should know. I said, Brady's going to win. And there's some that don't want Brady to win. I said, well, yeah, experience always wins. And it's like they kind of, they said, you haven't watched a game. I said, that's it. I haven't watched a game. They know I haven't watched a game. And they laughed, you know. But the guy's good, too, from what I understood. So, you know, every game is different. Every time you walk on a field for basketball or baseball or football, it's always new. And you never know what could happen. You know, we don't know if the footballs are going to be inflated or not. Or, you know, y'all caught it? Tom Brady. You never know what's going to happen. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord because we know who will win the big Super Bowl. Amen, huh? We know our God is a victor's God, and he's coming for a victorious church. He's not coming for a church that's lame or broken. He's coming for a church that has looked to him, that has gone through the fire, that has experienced life, that has done extraordinary things by the Spirit of God. He's coming for a church that is experienced. He's coming for a church that knows him. He's coming for a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's coming for a church that believes in miracles, signs, and wonders. And God says in the last days, perilous times shall come, as it says in 2 Timothy. But I tell you what, God says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. I still don't understand how he can do it. But I tell you what, through the blood of Jesus, all things are possible. Because we have a lot of spots and we have a lot of wrinkles. But I tell you, through the blood of Jesus, when God looks at us, he doesn't see sin. He doesn't see evil. He sees us without spot or wrinkle. My God, praise God. That he looks at you as a victorious person relying upon the Spirit of God to help us to do what God has called us to do. This is a year of ministry for our church. God is going to move like we've never seen before. I'm telling you, just wait. Watch and pray, as the Spirit of God says. Watch and pray. What God can do. A year of ministry. I don't know all that entails. But ministry will flow from this place. Like we've never seen before. And will touch people's lives like we've never seen before. We gotta pray. We gotta seek his face. And let God be God. You see, when other churches may fold and die, God is saying he's looking for a people that will look to him. And he will put in the Spirit of God to bring life unto that place. All we got to do is rely upon him and ask him to come, to pray and to seek his face. You know, years ago, churches could get along with just going with the flow of things. That's not like that anymore. God is putting a boundary and saying, you got to pray. You got to seek me. You got to put your faith and trust in me. And I tell you what, that's the churches that God is going to move through and will do mighty and great things. Ministry will flow like we've never seen before. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 6, please. Acts chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, starting with verse 1, please. You can. It says, "And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Let me tell you this, people. Let me stop right there. The devil will do everything he can to get you away from the word of God. The devil will do everything he can to get you away from the word of God. He knows this book right here, penned down by the disciples and other men, penned down by men, but penned down by the anointing and the presence of God. He will try to do everything he can to get you not to even look at it. He will put stumbling blocks. He will bring people your way. He will make you so busy that you busy, that he does not, that you don't have the time to concentrate on this word and let it feed you like he wants it to be fed unto us. We don't realize that this is a living bread that God has given unto the church for the church members to consume it and to get it into their hearts and to get it into their spirits. Just like when there was bread that came down, manifested for the children of Israel as a miracle sign unto them so that they would not forget what who God was and who God is, because he knew that sometimes when you go sometimes through difficult times or pressures of the world, that we seem to forget who God is. Every day they had to go out and take manna that was a few inches off of the earth so it wouldn't get dirty, and scrape it up into almost the air and put it in. It was little wafers, little white wafers with honey in it. They'd put it in jars and bring it back to their house and make the bread and whatever else they needed for that day. And then on one day, he'd give them 2 days' supply. And they had to do it exactly the way he said it. Or if they took 2 days' supply they were not supposed to, it says that it would go rancid, that it would have bugs and stuff in it. You know how people are. When you have a toilet paper shortage, that's the time you think, "Oh, Lord, I need more toilet paper." And you look into every store you can from the top to the bottom to see if anybody has one roll of toilet paper. And I'm sure people went into public restrooms and stole toilet paper. Probably, huh? I hope you didn't do that. No. No. I know you wouldn't. You have a God conscience. But you know, God says take 1 day supply. He didn't say how much. He didn't say one jar, two jars, three, four. Hey, whatever was 1 day, you just take as much as you want. There was more for God to give. And this is just me. I don't know. Okay. I'm sure when they would take it and put it in the jar, there was some more right there. I mean, in an instant. In an instant. When they would take it and gather it and put it in bowls and stuff, as they would take it, instantly there was more. That's the kind of God we serve. That's more than enough. That's more than enough. He's an overflowing God. He's not on a short supply, you know, of money. You know, he's not on the short supply of George Washington $1 bills. We like the 50s and 100s and all that stuff. Is it Jefferson that's on the 50s? Or who? Grant's on the 50s? Where's Jefferson? He's on none? I don't know. But money. God's not... God's... What? Oh, on a coin. We don't want that. We want the bills, no. But God is not in short supply. And every look, take what you want. God is saying, come to me, all that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. That's the power of our God. Amen. He will give us rest in the times that we need it. Amen. The anointing and the presence of God, of what he can do. Sometimes we limit God by what we see. But never limit God by what you see. Don't ever limit him, because he's more than what we see. He goes beyond that. He's a God that can do all things. And they took their daily supply, and then on the day before the Sabbath, they had to take the 2-day supply of what they needed. It could have been truckloads. It didn't matter to him. It could have been 18-wheelers full. It doesn't matter to him. Just take what you need. But we have to follow how God says to do it. You see, that's where the church or the body of Christ goes wrong sometimes. We want to follow what man says instead of what God says. What God says is truth. What God says is definite. Yes. What God says will come about no matter what. Amen. That's God. Amen. That's God. And when somebody tried to take the 2-day supply, like I said, it became rancid with bugs. You know, God says, come to church. And there's certain things that, you know, and I'm just talking in general. And when you don't, things can happen because you get out of the will of God. But I tell you what, when you do the part that God says and you follow his word to the best of your ability, saying, Lord, open it up more to me, God says he will pour out his spirit. Pour out his anointing and pour out his power. Now look at this. Verse 3. Let's read that again. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So God was saying, you overworked, over whatever, get these men that are honest, good report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. It's an amazing thing just to be a helper, to serve the widows. God said they had to be honest, of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We have deacons on boards that are not honest sometimes, that are not full of the Holy Spirit, don't speak in tongues at all. And are not wise. What a difference, huh? I mean, it's a shame how the bar has gone low. But with God, he's saying, even to feed the widows, you make sure you're full of wisdom. You're honest. Now, he didn't say perfect. Did he say perfect? No. Because he knows nobody's perfect. But just to be honest, that's a quality that has gone out the door. Yeah. To be honest, just honest, you know, about the dealings, about what's going on, about what's happening. Be honest and full of the Holy Spirit. Now this is, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now here we see God is saying to us that we need to give ourselves continually to prayer. You know, the 12 disciples, God would call them, or Jesus would call them to pray. God is saying we need to pray, people. And I'm not just saying 5 minutes. Now, 5 minutes is better than zero. You know the average Christian now prays less than 5 minutes a day. The average Christian, it's just in America, and I'm not, but you can go throughout the world, less than 5 minutes a day. I mean, that's going from introduction to God to the middle to the ending. Lord, we praise you. Less than 5 minutes a day. And then we wonder why maybe the church or the body of Christ is the way it is and the things that are happening within the church body. That's not a good statement. Now, they just talk about Christians in general. They put Christians throughout every religion, you know. But as born-again Christians, we should spend a few minutes more than that in prayer before our God. Now, I know there's different types of praying. There could be prayer where you have a solitude time where you go in maybe your room or you go on your swing or something, or you go on your back porch, you're drinking your coffee, and you're relaxing and you're praising and you're honoring and you're praying for your family and friends and your spouse and your church, your pastor, and asking God to move. And then there's other prayer where you are probably working and doing something, and you can pray in tongues, or you can pray in the meantime while you're doing other things. I know continually I can pray in tongues while I'm working, and the power of God to move upon our church and upon situations that are pressing upon my heart and upon my life. And so you see, we need to be a people that takes the time to pray, so that we can see what God wants. We can see what God wants to do in these last days, so we can bring it about the manifestation of what God is wanting to do. You see, God is not going to pour out his spirit upon a people or an area that's not ready for it. God is not a God of waste. God is a God that is precise. And when he pours out his spirit, it's for a precise time, event, area, because of what has happened and what's going on. Because of the cry of the people's hearts. You see, the thing that catches the eyes of God is a person that will cry out from the heart of his life to him. That catches his eye. That catches his ear, and he starts to move upon that situation. Because he will move upon a people that's educated, that love him and have a sincere heart for him, but he'll also move upon a people that's not educated that much in the things of the world or books. Because he looks, and the criteria is that he looks at the hearts of people. He looks at the heart of a man, the heart of a woman, and says, what can I do? But he looks at how they break before him and how the power of God is being moved within their hearts and within their lives. He looks at how he speaks to them and how they listen and they do what God tells them to do. The power of Almighty God continually in prayer and doing the work of the ministry, the works that God has. You might say, what does that mean? Doing the works of the ministry, just doing whatever God calls you to do in ministering and heralding forth the word of God, heralding forth about how God wants to save them and love them, loves them and wants to help them. The power, God uses human beings to be the oracles, to give out that word, to give out that spirit, the anointing and the presence of God. That's why he says, when anyone, any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Let them go and anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. That's what God says. And when God says it, he means it. We have to follow what the Spirit of God is saying and doing through the Scriptures. praying, seeking his face, asking God to move, and doing the work that he calls us to do. Look at Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 5, starting with verse 5. And it says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird yourself and bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast your garments about you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." Even Peter thought he was in a vision, huh? "And they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself," he still thought he was in a vision. He thought he was in a dream. Let me get this to you. Peter was in jail. Peter was in jail for preaching the gospel. But here he had a group of people that were in a home praying for him. Prayer changes things. Prayer gets human beings, listen to this, prayer gets human beings to do the will of the Father. Who? Prayer changes the minds of human beings so that they think the way God thinks. Ooh. Prayer changes the inner mind and heart of a man or a woman so that we do God's will, because there are things out there. The evil world, it's alive and well, people. Just look at our government. It's alive and well out there, trying to bring disaster and destruction upon the human race. But I tell you, God is in control. God has given us the victory. God is moving forward. We got to go to the throne room of heaven and call out our country, call out our church before God, asking God to move upon that situation. You see, when we call out to God, God listens, and he says, "Huh, I have the ear of my people. I listen to them." Not that he obeys us, but he gets us in the perfect will of his. And then he does what he wants to do. You see, let me tell you this. The enemy out there is zero to God. Don't ever think that the enemy outweighs your God. Don't ever even let it come in your mind that the enemy out there outweighs your God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that has risen from the grave and has brought back unity with the human race and with God the Father through Jesus. Now, we know they're bigger than us because we are a fallen race, but we've been brought back into fellowship with God because of what Jesus did. But there's nothing that the enemy can do that can break that fellowship if we don't want to. The enemy is, yes, he's big over us as far as power. But I tell you what, the power that God puts in us, and we start claiming the word of God, that is what cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's what gives us victory. That's what goes before us. And that's what the enemy can't stand. He does not want you to know the word. You know that? Excuse me. He does not want us to know that word. Because if you know the word, you can stand upon it. And when you stand upon that word, you know without a shadow of a doubt that it will come to pass, because God is a man of his word. And he, the enemy, does not want you and I to know that word. He doesn't want us to know that by his stripes we are healed. He doesn't want us to know, call for the elders of the church, call for the pastor of the church, that he can come and anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith and you shall be healed. He does not want us to know those scriptures. He wants us to stay sick and diseased. But God has given us the power through the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, that we can have power and authority over the enemy, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord through the power and the presence of Almighty God. Yes, amen. Hallelujah to the King. Yes. You have more in you than what you think. Yes, amen. And the devil knows it. That's why he'll walk on eggshells by you till he finds a little weakness in an area. And then he does whatever he could do to bring destruction. Can you imagine? They got together to pray for Peter. And all they're doing is saying, Father, do something. Father, Lord, this is Peter's in jail, Lord. We don't know. They're just calling out to God. And all they're just praying. They're just praying, lifting up their hands, just praying, saying, Father, move upon Peter. Father, move upon Peter. Do something in his heart and life. Lord, we don't know. Lord, we need help. And all of a sudden, as they're praying, an angel's visiting Peter. People, sometimes we are praying. You know, we know what happened here because it's written down. But sometimes we're praying and we don't know what's happening, what God is doing on the forefront. What God is doing on the backside of things. What God is doing on the other side of town. How God is moving upon our family and friends. But all of a sudden it says that he unlatched the chains of bondage upon him. My God. And all of a sudden, Peter's walking out of the jail. And the angel gets to the lock of the fence. This is nothing for him. We don't know what angel it is, if it's Gabriel or what. Or Jesus. Because sometimes they'll say angel instead of the Lord. Unlocks it. And here Peter's still thinking he's in a vision or a dream. Is this truly happening? You might say that happened many years ago, over 2,000 years ago. That can still happen today.
Yes, amen.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're living on borrowed time.
Yes.
And God is coming back for us.
Amen.
And all of a sudden it says that the Spirit of God showed Peter that it wasn't a vision.
Amen.
That this was truth. And he walks up to the house and knocks on the door. And the servant came after a while. She's stunned. You see, we are going to be stunned.
Yes.
We are going to be stunned by what God is going to do.
Amen.
The greatest miracle is somebody getting saved, because that's life or death.
Yes.
But other things, we are going to be stunned by how God is moving.
Amen.
And what he's doing. Stunned. I want to be stunned. Every day, Lord, can't believe. I believe it, but I can't believe it. Runs back in, and after a while, she tells them. They think, oh, you've gone crazy. I mean, literally praying for Peter, and she's telling them he's at the door. And they're saying, girl, go back over there. I mean, you know the kids, go, chupase, get out of here. You know, get out of here. And finally, it comes about that it's him. And they open that door and they see Peter. And no soldiers on the side of him. All they see is maybe a little evidence of maybe an angel that was with him. And he goes in and he tells them, look what happened. That's the prayers of the saints, people. The prayers of the saints. the saints of God get together, the power of God moves. The saints of God get together, the presence of God moves. The power of God comes in. When the saints of God get together, darkness is pushed back. When the saints of God don't get together and pray, the enemy comes in. And here we see the power of God moving like we never saw seen before. They never saw before. And comes in walking. And can you, do you believe that maybe their faith grew a little bit that day? When he starts to tell them, I thought I was in a vision. I thought it was just a dream. But it was reality. Yes, we know Peter prayed. But we also know that house, the people in that home prayed for him. As it says in the scriptures. And he saw what God could do. You see, God is looking for people with just faith. And I'm not talking about, you know, everybody has faith in something. But I'm talking about true faith in Christ. Saying, Lord, I believe your word. I believe and I stand upon who you are and what you can do. And to take that and to see God move. Don't we all want to be stunned a few times?
Yes.
We're tired of being defeated. We want to be stunned by our God. Saying, I knew it. That's the God I serve. That's the God that has come through for me. And that will change situations around. See, we got to continue in prayer. Don't give up. And we got to do the work of the ministry. Some things may need to be let go. But we got to go and do what God says. Look, God has a lot of stuff for us to do. We need to get the job done. You might say, well, I don't know if I can do it. Let me tell you, God knows what needs to happen. What needs to go on. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can do much. I'm a little of age or this or that. Look, let me tell you this. Everybody in that house, I'm sure there was young ones and old ones. They all did their part in getting Peter out. Calling upon God. Everybody can pray. Everybody can seek God. Everybody can say, Lord, move upon my home. Move upon my church. Move upon our community, Lord. Let us be what God, what you want us to be. And letting God be God. Amen. Look, God has a lot in store for every one of us. God wants to use you in whatever capacity, whatever way. Just let him use you. And you will see what God can do. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come before you, Lord. And Father, we just pray the Spirit of God to be upon each and every one of your people, Lord. Father, we pray a mighty move of your Spirit, Lord God. But I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not done so and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand so we'll know. Amen. Seems like everybody here has received Christ. I want to look, ask on Facebook or YouTube, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you a chance to know him. Would you please repeat this prayer after me? Say, Heavenly Father,
I ask you
to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Your will be done in me. And through me, in Jesus' name, amen. If on Facebook or YouTube you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to find a church. Find a good church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want to invite you here at Gaydon International Church. You are always welcome. Church starts on Sundays at 10 and Wednesday Bible study at 7. God bless you. Amen. Andrew, would you come and...
Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father God, as we go home today, I'm asking, Father, that you will protect each and every one of us. I'm asking, Father God, that you will do a mighty work in us, Father God. I'm asking you to show us someone to tell your word to, Father. I'm asking you to start a fire in each and every one of us and let it burn hotter and farther than ever before, Father. Be in us. Show us something good this week, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.